canela.
So today we will be covering Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19, Verses 20 to 30th. So thank you very much, Damodar Prasad Prabhu, for covering the previous verses. This is all the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Without him, we will be nowhere. So long time ago, everybody assembled, all the great sages, in the forest of Naimisharanya, to listen to Suta Goswami reciting, and then in that retrospectively he covers the dealings of Sukhdev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, which happened because Parikshit Maharaj was a great devotee of the Lord, who was protected once in the womb by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and subsequently encountered the personality of Kali, who descended based on the will of the Lord to initiate the Kali Yuga. And then there are certain places where these personality of Kali manifests. So Maharaj Parikshit goes on a hunting trip. Some of you know this, all of you know this. Some beautiful art here from the Jaipur style. And after that he gets thirsty and requests some water, and he does not get water. So he basically puts a dead snake around, and Sringi, the son of the sage, curses him. And Balaram Lila Prabhu very eloquently described that we all have Sringi like tendencies, so we have to be very careful. So with that context, let's jump in.
Navaidam Rajar Shivarya Chitram Bhavat Sukrishnam Samanuvarteshu Yedhyasanam Rajakrita Justam Sadhyo Jahur Bhagavat Parsavatamaha.
So the translation: O chief of all the saintly kings of the Pandu dynasty, who are strictly in the line of Lord Sri Krishna, it is not at all astonishing that you give up your throne, which is decorated with the helmets of many kings, to achieve eternal association with the personality of Godhead. So basically, who has given up the throne?
Parikshit Maharaj.
And he is in the saintly king dynasty. So Rajarshis, list of Rajarshis. And here the implication here is that we are not surprised that you have given up your throne, because you come in that saintly lineage. To do what? To achieve eternal association with the personality of Godhead. So I did not take specific points from Prabhupada's verses purport, because everything is nectar. So let's go through that. Prabhupada starts, he has a very interesting way of starting purports. The first sentence is foolish, first word is foolish. Foolish politicians who hold political administrative posts think that the temporary posts they occupy are the highest material gain of life, and therefore they stick to those posts even up to the last moment of their life. This is very true in India. Like in Congress, there was one person, he was in the head of Congress party, and he had two pipes here, oxygen cylinder. You know who I'm talking about? Kesari.
Sitaram Kesari.
This was 20 years ago. With oxygen cylinders and masks and this and that and medication. Till the last day of life, he did not give the post of president of Congress party.
His name is Sitaram.
And his name is Sitaram.
Chahira. He calls himself, he thinks he's like Bhishma.
Without knowing that the achievement of liberation as one of the associates of the Lord in his eternal abode is the highest gain of life. The human life is meant for achieving this end. So Prabhupada's short sentences are the most powerful. The human life is meant for achieving this end. The Lord has assured us in Bhagavad Gita many times that going back to Godhead, his eternal abode, is the highest achievement. Prahlad Maharaj, so how Prabhupada weaves, so he's going into future cantos and he brings that knowledge here. While praying to the Lord, Narasimha said, "O my Lord, I am very much afraid of the materialistic way of life, and I am not least afraid of your present ghastly, ferocious feature as Narasimha Dev." Why does he say that? Because including Lakshmi Devi, everybody was afraid. He's saying, "Oh, Lord is ferocious." He's saying this material world is more ferocious. I am not at all afraid of your Narasimhadev view. The materialist way of life is something, again Prabhupada says, this materialistic way of life is something like a grinding stone, and we are being crushed by it. We have fallen into this horrible whirlpool of tossing waves of life, and thus, my Lord, I pray at your lotus feet to call me back to your eternal abode as one of your servitors. So he doesn't say, as your servitor. It's not like, I am your greatest devotee or I am your most fallen. As one of the servitors. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said that the difference between Vedic culture and the modern culture is, modern culture, everybody wants to be recognized as somebody superior. Vedic culture means, Lord, just give me a place somewhere in little corner, you know, in the hierarchy of people. Hierarchy is very important in Vedic culture. So I don't want to compete with my boss, with my guru or his guru or my guru's peers. I just want to be somewhere, you know, in one corner, just serving all these people and taking advice from those people. This is the summit of liberation of materialistic way of life. I have very bitter experience of the materialistic way of life, in which our species of life have taken birth, compelled by force of my own activities. I have very painfully experienced two things: separation from my beloved and meeting with what is not wanted. So one, we are separated from our beloved Sri Krishna, and two, on a minute by minute basis, we are meeting with so much nonsense in this material world. And to counteract them, the remedies which I undertook were more dangerous than the disease itself. So anybody have any examples of remedies which are more dangerous than the disease?
Divorce,
contraception, abortion,
mortgage.
Yeah, mortgage. This is the most profound way of Kali. It makes you think that you are the owner and controller on day one. And then for the next 15 to 30 years,
you are serving
the bank. And to counteract them, the remedies which I undertook are more dangerous than disease itself. So I drift from one point to another, birth after birth. I pray to you, therefore, to give me a shelter of your lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Prabhupada is paraphrasing, it's in quotes. So Prahlad Maharaj again doesn't say, give me the shelter, exclusive shelter of your lotus feet. No, give me a shelter of your lotus feet. So means along coexistence, no competition in the spiritual world. The Pandava kings, who are more than many saints of the world, knew the bitter results of materialistic way of life. They were never captivated by glare of the imperial throne they occupied, and they sought always the opportunity to being called by the Lord to associate with him eternally. Maharaj Parikshit was Varsthi son, grandson of Maharaj Yudhishthir. Maharaj Yudhishthir gave the imperial throne to his grandson, and similarly Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of Maharaj Yudhishthir, gave up the imperial throne to his son Janamejaya. Okay, this is why I said, because it's quoted by Prabhupada. That is the way of kings in the dynasty, because they are all strictly in the line of Lord Krishna. Again, parampara doesn't mean just chanting parampara. Even the kings, the Rajarshi is also in the parampara of Sri Krishna. Says the devotees of Lord are never enchanted by the glare of materialistic life, and they live impartially, unattached to objects of false, illusory, materialistic way of life. False, illusory, materialistic. Remember these three terms. Sarve vayam tavadihasmahetha kalevaram yavadasau vihaya lokam param virajaksham vishokam yasya diyayam bhagavata pradhanam. We shall wait here until the foremost devotee of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit, returns to the supreme planet, which is completely free from all mundane contamination and all kinds of lamentation. This is why on the disappearance day of our spiritual masters, we are very exuberant. It's not like we are crying. We don't cry, because look at all the sages. They are waiting for a soul to go back to Godhead. That's a very auspicious time. So I had the good fortune of going to His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Maharaja's last lecture in New Vrindavan. So several people from our temple went, like Sundarananda, Madhav Gopinath Prabhu, Ved Narayan Prabhu, and myself, and a few others. So the last lecture, because we are actually witnessing his departure. After that, he didn't give any public view. He gave only view audience to his god brothers and not to everybody. Select. So, a departure of a elevated soul is a cause for happiness. It's not a lamentation point. Again, Prabhupada's, you know, power punch. Beyond the limitation of material creation, which is compared to a cloud in the sky, there is Paravyoma, or the spiritual sky, full of planets. So he's saying this material world is like just like a cloud. Think about such a big sky. It is a little cloud. A dark cloud too. You know, not even very effulgent. So there is Paravyoma, or the spiritual sky, full of planets called Vaikuntas. Such Vaikuntha planets are also differently known as Purushottama Loka, Achyuta Loka, Trivikrama Loka, Rishikesha Loka. You get the idea. All these are what?
Names.
Om, Keshava Namaha, Madhava Namaha, Trivikrama Namaha, Purushottama Namaha, Achyuta Namaha, Rishikesha Namaha, Aniruddha Namaha, Madhava Namaha. So these are all lokas. For every mantra there is a loka up there when you recite these mantras. And many other millions of spiritual lokas where the personality of Godhead predominates, not visits, predominates. All the living entities there are liberated souls with spiritual bodies as good as that of the Lord. So which is, what kind of liberation is that? Swarupa. Not Sayuja. Sayuja is the Brahmajyoti. Sarupya, yeah, that's the right pronunciation. Sarupya. There is no material contamination. Everything there is spiritual, and therefore there is nothing objectively lamentable. Such beautiful choice of words. So there is nothing lamentable, not subjectively. Objectively lamentable means absolutely there is nothing lamentable. They are full of transcendental bliss and are without birth, death, old age and disease. And amongst all the above mentioned Vaikuntha Lokas, there is one supreme loka called Goloka Vrindavan, Ki Jai, which is the abode of Lord Sri Krishna and his specific associates. Maharaj Parikshit was destined to achieve this particular loka. So Prabhupada had this insight. Parikshit is not going to Vaikunthas. He is going to the topmost planet. Yeah, you will have other opportunities to do that. Maharaj Parikshit was destined to achieve this particular loka, and the great rishis assembled there could foresee this. All of them consulted among themselves about the great departure of a great king, and they wanted to see him up to the last moment because they would no more be able to see such a great devotee of the Lord. When a great devotee of the Lord passes away, there is nothing to be lamented because devotee is destined to enter into the kingdom of God. But the sorry plight is such that great devotees leave our sight, and therefore there is every reason to be sorry. So we should be sad also because they are no longer with us. As the Lord is rarely to be seen by our present eyes, so are the great devotees. The great rishis therefore correctly decided to remain on the spot till the last moment. How often do we see our Guru Maharajas? Maybe 1 to 2 hours a year. True? Yeah, this is true even today. You cannot have great association of great devotees continuously. It's just a little bit. Asrutya tadrisi ganavacha parikshit samam madhuchyut guru chavyalikam abhasatana binandya yuktan shushru samanas charitani vishnu. Charitani Vishnu means you're talking about Vishnu. All that was spoken by the great sages was very sweet to hear, full of meaning and appropriately presented as perfectly true. So after hearing them, Maharaj Parikshit, desiring to hear the activities of Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, congratulated the great sages. So Maharaj Parikshit is congratulating the sages back. So sages are congratulating Parikshit, saying it is such a great fortune for them to see a pure devotee depart this world, and counter congratulation. This is highly lacking in today's world, in case you missed it. Neither you get congratulated nor you congratulate genuinely. Hey, good job, man.
समागतः सर्वत्र एव सर्वे वेदायता मूर्तिद्याराश्च नेहातनामोत्र च कश्चनार्ता ऋते परानुग्रहमात्मशीलम्.
The king said, O great sages, you have all very kindly assembled here, having come from all parts of the universe. You are all as good as the supreme knowledge personified who resides in the planet above the three worlds, Satya Loka. Consequently, you are naturally inclined to do good to others, and but for this, you have no interest either in this life or in the next. So, the king is now glorifying these sages. You are all as good as the supreme knowledge personified who resides above the three worlds. And you are naturally inclined to do good to others. Otherwise, you have no interest in this particular life. Srila Prabhupada's translation, again, Parasara Muni's six opulence definition. Six kinds of opulences, namely wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge and renunciation, are all originally the different attributes pertaining to the absolute personality of Godhead. The living beings, who are part and parcel entities of the Supreme Being, have all these attributes partially. Up to the full strength of 78% in the material world, these attributes are covered by the material energy as sun is covered by the cloud. The covered strength of the sun is very dim compared to the original glare. And similarly, the original color of the living being with such attributes becomes almost extinct. There are three planetary systems, namely lower, intermediate and upper worlds. So it's very interesting. He's basically 78% of attributes exist with every living entity, but they are completely covered. The human beings on earth are situated at the beginning of the intermediate worlds, which is like the Bhur, Bhuva, Swaha, we are in the middle, and Atala, Vetala, Sutala are lower. But living beings like Brahma and his contemporaries live in upper worlds, of which the topmost is Satyaloka. In Satyaloka, the inhabitants are fully cognizant of Vedic wisdom, and thus the mystic cloud of material energy is cleared. Mystic cloud of material energy. So, do we have it here? In Satyaloka, the inhabitants are fully cognizant of Vedic wisdom, and thus the mystic cloud of material energy is cleared. Therefore, they are known as Vedas personified. Such persons, being fully aware of knowledge both mundane and transcendental, have no interest in either mundane or transcendental. They are practically desireless devotees. In mundane world, they have nothing to achieve. And in the transcendental world, they are full in themselves. Then why do they come into the mundane world? So he now still glorification of these sages is continuing. They descend on different planets as messiahs by the order of the Lord to deliver the fallen souls. On the earth they come down to do good to the people of the world in different circumstances under different climatic influences. They have nothing to do in this world save and except reclaim the fallen souls rotting in material existence, deluded by material energy. Rotting in material existence and deluded by material energy. I recently went to Austin. My wife's sister's daughter was, you know, so she attained puberty and there was a function around that. So we went there and I saw some of the relatives and one of the old man, you know, he was lying down on the bed and you could see what could become of us. He was still highly attached to all of the family members and singing glories of their friends and how they have all come together. And what should he be doing? Because he's very close to death actually. But he's totally engrossed in family. That's why elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vidura goes to Dhritarashtra and says, you are coughing up mucus. And I saw a person who was in that state. And yet you are staying in this house. Get out. So rotting in material existence.
Tatashava prachyami mam vitrache visrabhya vipraiti kritayatayam sarvatmana mrityamanashakrityam suddham chatatram satabhikuttaham.
O Prasvati Brahmanas, I now ask you about the immediate duty, my immediate duty.
Please, after proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances, and specifically of those who are just about to die. So we need to know the duty in all circumstances, and specifically of people who are about to die. In the verse, King has placed two questions before the learned sages. The first question is, what is the duty of everyone in all circumstances? And the second is, what is the specific duty of one who is to die very shortly? Out of the two, the question relating to dying man is most important, because everyone is a dying man or woman, either very shortly or after 100 years. So we know that we are dying. That is first important point to know. The duration of life is immaterial, but the duty of a dying man is very important. Maharaj Parikshit placed these two questions before Sukhdev Goswami, also on his arrival, and practically the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning from the second canto up to the last 12th canto, deals with these two questions. So that is Srimad Bhagavatam. The conclusion arrived at thereof is the devotional service of the Lord Sri Krishna, as is confirmed by Lord Himself in the last phases of Bhagavad Gita, is the last word in relation to everyone's permanent duty of life. Maharaj Parikshit was already aware of this fact, but he wanted the great sages assembled there to unanimously give their verdict in this, on his conviction, so that he might be able to go on with his confirmed duty without controversy. Our lives is full of controversy. Maybe this, maybe that. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam or the devotional life will give you the answer to that. He has especially mentioned the word Shuddha, or perfectly correct. For transcendental realization or self-realization, many processes are recommended by various classes of philosophers. Some of them are first class, second and third class. The first class method demands that one give up all other methods and surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus be saved from all sins and reactions. So why does Prabhupada not even talk about second and third class methods?
The first is encompassing all other methods.
We should not be distracted.
It's a distraction. Otherwise you tend to think, maybe I'll do 20% devotional service, 80% I'll continue with my own thing. Before long, that 80% will become 99% and it'll engulf you. Engulf us.
Tatra bhavad bhagavan vyasa putro yadrashya gamatmano napeksaha alaksya lingo nijalabhatusto vritascha baler abadhuta veshaha.
At the moment there appeared the very powerful son of Vyasadev, who travelled all over the earth, disinterested and satisfied with himself. He did not manifest any symptoms of belonging to any social order or status of life. He was surrounded with women and children, and he dressed as if others had neglected him. So again, Parasara Muni's statements reinforced here. The word Bhagavan is sometimes used in relation with some of the great devotees of the Lord, like Sukhdev Goswami. Such liberated souls are disinterested in the affairs of this material world because they are self-satisfied by the great achievements of devotional service. As explained before, Sukhdev Goswami never accepted any formal spiritual master, nor did he undergo any formal reformatory performance. His father, Vyasadeva, was his natural spiritual master because Sukhdev Goswami heard Srimad Bhagavatam from him. After this, he became completely self-satisfied. Thus, he was not dependent on any formal process. The formal processes are necessary for those who are expected to reach the stage of complete liberation. But Sri Sukhdev Goswami was already in that status by grace of his father. As a young boy, he was expected to be properly dressed, but he went about naked and was uninterested in social customs. So this was in the very initial days, like either before initiation or right after initiation. I asked my Guru Maharaj, see, look, in our family we have this parampara of worshipping Shiva. What should we do? So he said, It's a social custom. Do you want to follow social customs? That's it. If it's a social custom, then you don't have to. When you are surrendered to the Supreme Lord, you just simply neglect that. He was neglected by the general populace, and inquisitive boys and women surrendered him as if he were a madman. He thus appears on the scene while travelling on the earth of his own accord. It appears upon the inquiry of Maharaj Parikshit, the great sages were not unanimous in their decision as to what was to be done. So His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj basically says here, some people, they appear mad through their appearance, clothing or whatever. Some people appear wise, but how do you know who is mad and who is wise?
When they speak.
When they open their mouth, you know who they are. That's why the word appear is here. It appears upon the inquiry of Maharaj Parikshit, the great sages were not unanimous in their decision as to what was to be done. So even the sages had a deliberation. What should we do? You know, this is a great man walking here, or he appears madman. According to the different modes of different persons. So even amongst all the great sages, there were some who did not immediately accept him as a great personality. But the ultimate aim of life is to attain highest perfectional stage of devotional service to the Lord. As doctors differ, so also sages differ in their different prescriptions. While such things were going on, the great and powerful son of Vyasadev appeared on the scene. Because the sages themselves were debating, what is the, oh, Maharaj Parikshit is passing away, he's such a great man, they glorified him, Maharaj Parikshit glorified all of these sages, and they were debating what is to be done. And then?
No, that's because Maharaj Parikshit asked a question.
Debating first.
Yeah, they're not unanimous.
Vyasadeva's son appears on the scene. So there is Sukadeva Goswami, not clothed. So also, he has a bluish tinge. He's very attractive. He looks like Krishna himself, and we'll go through all that. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj says in his lecture that some women thought that it was inappropriate for him to not be dressed. Some women understood his internal state. Therefore, they felt it was appropriate. So, not everybody is on the same platform.
Tam dvastavarsam sukumara pada karoru bhavam sakapola gatram charvayata suna satulya karna subhavananam khamu sujata khantam.
The son of Vyasadeva was only 16 years old. His legs, hands, thighs, arms, shoulders, forehead and his other parts of body were all delicately formed. His eyes were beautifully wide. His nose and ears were highly raised. He had very attractive face and his neck was well formed and beautiful like a conch shell. A respectable personality is described beginning with legs, and that is the honor system observed here with Sukadeva Goswami. So, even with the deities, we always start watching from the legs upwards. A person is honored for his achievement and not for advanced age. A person can be older by experience and not by age. Shri Sukadeva Goswami is described here in a son of Vyasadeva was by his knowledge more experienced than all the sages present there, although he was only 16 years old. And how was he more experienced?
Because he realized.
He was liberated in the womb. He didn't even want to come out into the material world. Then he comes out and then quickly he grows to a 16-year-old boy, the height of a 16-year-old boy. These are certain inconceivable things.
Niguda chatrum prututunga vakshasam avarthanabhim valival gudaramcha digambaram vatra vikirna kesham pralambhabhavum swamarottamabhan.
His collarbone was fleshy, his chest broad and thick, his navel deep, abdomen beautifully striped, arms were long, and curly hair were strewn over his beautiful face. He was naked, and the hue of his body reflected that of Lord Sri Krishna. Pralamba Bahum, long hands. Vikirna Kesham, you know, hair is all strewn around. Digambaram, no clothes on him. His bodily feature indicate him to be different from common men. So right then and there, he's not only liberated, but his feature itself was almost like Sarupya. All the signs described in connection with the bodily feature of Sukhdeva Goswami are uncommon symptoms, typical of great personalities. According to physiognomical calculations, his bodily hue resembled that of Lord Krishna, who is the supreme among gods, demigods, and all living beings. Shyamam sada pujya vayorigalakshmya strinam manognyam ruchirasmitena pratyuhitaste munaya swasnebhyas talakshanagnya apigudha vachanam varchasam. He was blackish and was very beautiful. Due to his youth, because of the glamour of his body and his attractive smiles, he was pleasing to women. Though he tried to cover his natural glories, the great sage present there were all expert in the art of physiognomy, and so they honored him by rising from their seats. They could immediately recognize that somebody was superior to them, so they got up.
Savishnuratho thitaya agathaya tasmai saparyam sirasajahara tato nevritahi abuddha striyortha mahasane sapo vivesha pujita.
Maharaj Parikshit, who is also known as Vishnuratha, one who is always protected by Vishnu, bowed his head to receive the chief guest. Sukadev Goswami, at that time all the ignorant women and boys ceased following Srila Sukadev Goswami. Receiving respect from all, Sukadev Goswami took his exalted seat. On Sukadev Goswami's arrival at the meeting, everyone except Srila Vyasadev, Narada and few others stood up. Why? Why did these three people not stand up? They're senior. One is a father and a spiritual master. One is higher than, you know, Parapitamaha, who is Narada Muni, so they are not obligated to get up. Who was glad to receive a great devotee of the Lord, bowed down before him with all the limbs of the body. Sarvanga Pranam. Sukadeva Goswami also exchanged the greetings and reception by embrace, shaking of hands, nodding and bowing down, especially before his father and Narada Muni. Thus, he was offered the presidential seat at the meeting. When he was so received by king and sages, the street boys and less intelligent women who were following him were struck with wonder and fear. So they retired from their frivolous activity and everything was full of gravity and calm.
Sasamritastatra mahan mahiyasham brahmarshi rajarshi devarshi sangai vyarochatalam bhagavan yathendur griharkshatara nikare parita.
Sukadev Goswami was then surrounded by saintly sages and demigods, just as moon is surrounded by stars, planets and other heavenly bodies. His presence was gorgeous. He was respected by all. In the great assembly of saintly personalities, there was Vyasadeva the Brahmarshi, Narada the Devarshi, Parashurama the great ruler of Kshatriya kings, also known as Rajarshi. Some of them were powerful incarnations of the Lord. Sukadeva Goswami was not known as Brahmarshi, Rajarshi or Devarshi. Nor was he an incarnation like Narada, Vyasa or Parashurama, who were all Shakta Avesha avatars. And yet he excelled them in respect speed. This means the devotee of the Lord is more honored in the world than the Lord himself. One should therefore never minimize the importance of a devotee like Sukadev Goswami. So that was the last verse. Let's go through some practical application as given by His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So he was talking about, you know, this is the Vedic culture and you see advancement in the modern world. You have all these nice cars and this and that. Previously it used to take 4 days.
by pony to go from like New York City, one city to the other city and so on. So we do see advancement. It's not like there is no advancement. But on the other hand, life has deteriorated. There is more and more anxiety with material progress. Comes with advancement is dehumanization. So we are now more immune, more cold. We don't easily respond to our neighboring situations. If somebody is dead on the street also, we'll just pass by. Our police will take care. We should not even pay any attention like that. And most of the material things, we think it is for our satisfaction. So individualism is growing. And fewer people are willing to sacrifice for others. What's happening is there is more and more stimulation. And at the end of this, we ignore the goal of life. So Srila Prabhupada's solution is Varnashram. Because what's happening is people in city are more isolated today. Because they are only content with their Facebook and their handheld devices and so on. And they don't even know what's happening in the next lane where they live. So simple culture is what is needed now. So simpler lifestyle, which results actually in less problems by moving to farms and moving to smaller and locations and things like that instead of staying in these big ghastly cities. And in the olden days, we used to see troops of people putting shows of Ramayana, Mahabharata. Not even olden days. When I was growing up also, I saw those things. But now, those things are going away. So, any kind of entertainment you do should actually help you to get out of cycle of birth and death. Like, not like watching Ravan movie, or some crazy, and then being here in the material world. If you see pastimes of Lord Krishna or Rama, they attract you to him and help you go back to him. So people have been doing this for thousands of years actually, this kind of dramas and, street skits. So Tamil Krishna Maharaj says, not like today, where young boys and girls get on the stage and gyrate their bellies. That was his statement. So, and he was mentioning that up to 200 years ago, divorce was non-existent. Even in Britain or even in America, there's no concept of divorce. But because of this high individualism, all these things are coming. So the world got ruined not in thousands of years, only in the last 200 years it got ruined. So, what do you consider a miracle? The miracle is when intelligent person is concerned about you. And who is this intelligent person? He comes in two forms. One is Bhagavan, who gives the overall picture outside. And inside you, as Paramatma, who is doing specific care for your specific needs. So he is operating at two levels, the Lord. So, how do you distinguish between a madman and wise man? We discussed this. So people tend to be rude, somebody who is not aligned with their thinking or current norms. So all of a sudden, if you go to your office with Tilak or something, because it's not a current norm, they'll get agitated. Although, you haven't done anything wrong to them. So, in the same way, Sukhdev Goswami, when he arrived, some people saw him as a madman. And some people saw him as a wise man. But yet they gave respect. So, Sukhdev Goswami is a realized soul because he embodies the parampara. He's coming in that parampara and he's transmitting that knowledge down. And ignorant people cannot understand this. They think, oh, if you cannot touch it or taste it or see it, it does not exist. Two people, how do we know that? Two people hearing the same lecture will respond in two different ways. Because they do not possess the required qualifications. So, there is actually a qualification for devotional life. Devotional life is when sinful reactions are complete. So, you have been doing sin for millions of lifetimes. Some sins are coming right now. But when the sinful reactions stop coming anymore, that's when devotional life begins. So whatever we are doing right now, eating prasadam, chanting, it is to burn that sin. Therefore, at some point, we'll come to that Shuddha platform. Our past karma is actually a hindering block. It's stopping us from taking this up in a more serious manner. If you're still receiving sinful reactions to past sinful activities, you cannot understand life or sinful life or any life. You cannot understand philosophy. But the problem today is, even though we speak about philosophy, why are people unable to take it up? It's because they have become overwhelmingly sinful, so they cannot understand. And what do? They come up with many kinds of godless religions. It looks like religion. Like there is a church in Seattle. unified church or something like that. They seem to follow the Bible. They say everybody welcome. You can do whatever you want to do in that church as long as you can fund them in their building and electricity and that. You can do whatever you want
they'll
to do.
Follow your faith.
They'll follow your faith. Whatever you want to follow. So, but all these new societies are breaking up. Some new church comes, like there was in one in Waco, Texas. It lasted for 40 years. There's so many different groups in America which started and they broke up. But if you look at traditional societies, they stood together for a long time, for thousands or millions of years. Why? Because they had the right glue. And the glue was that Vedic knowledge. Modern religions, they actually don't hold very long. So there is a nice picture of Srila Sukhdeva Goswami giving to Maharaj Parikshit. There is a popular ISKCON picture. Here are some references. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.